Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. I pray that you'll, through your word, which is powerful and it's living and it's active, may your Holy Spirit just pierce our hearts. May it get even past our minds into our wills and into our lives, that we walk in your Holy Spirit more consistently. And so we just give you the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back after 6 months.
Amen.
Thank you all for your love, prayers, and support that you showed Paul and I and Chris and Jacob and his siblings. And I'm beyond. I'm just so grateful, and mostly to our work. I'm going to do a song. I've done it before. God will make a way for you. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he leads me. Rivers in the desert I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Amen. Praise God. He will make a way, won't he? Well, getting emotional already. I just praise God. I thank you for everyone's prayers, for those who had a chance to come and visit me, and for those who didn't, that I was in your prayers. And it's been a long time, over six months. And I missed everybody. You know, I'd watch it on video, but it's not the same. You know, that's a blessing if you don't have a great church to go to. But if any way possible, it's great to get with the body of Christ and with like-minded believers that want to grow in God's grace. So, by God's grace, I'm here today. From almost dying to get ready to fly in. I'm ready. So, let me get out my notes. Today we're going to study on... Oh, and it's Sunday. It's 10/22/17. And y'all know I'm a fill-in today. And I'm just excited. I'm honored to be here again. And humbled. So we're going to be today looking at believers are recipients and objects of God's grace. You know, sometimes people, I think when you're under grace teaching, sometimes, yeah, I know that stuff. No, grace, which you grow in. And if we get like that, we really need to grasp grace even more. I'm on Facebook a lot ministering, and man, some of the stuff out there is like some legalistic stuff, just off the wall stuff. So we're really blessed to be in a grace teaching church that understands how to rightly divide the word, understands the mystery, Paul's gospel. You just don't know. Go to another church sometime, and we're not the only church, you know, that's cult thinking, that's got it. But go to your average evangelical church today, and they're not teaching the depths of God's grace and Paul's gospel, that what establishes us and builds us up. So I hope this be a blessing to you. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. Got to get away from that pulpit. Too high, makes me look too short. There's a verse in there about how we all come up short, and I was wondering if Bill Salter would be here, because he always gets a kick when I say I come up short, you know. So I always think of him with that verse. So again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. This is familiar to us, but sometimes familiarity can kind of, you know, you're used to hearing it. And so we really got to think it through, what it means. You see, Paul, when he thinks of God's grace, look what he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. There's a lot of churches this morning that are teaching you got to work to be accepted. You got to do this. You better quit doing that, or God's going to punish you. He's not going to accept you. And we understand. Praise God, we understand. We're accepted in the beloved. You don't got to do one thing for God to accept you. You trusted in Christ. Now, does that mean there's no works in the believer's lives? No. That's not what I'm saying. It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, right? We're created unto good works. But good works don't save you, or they don't keep you saved. It's because you're saved that God will produce that. So, He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. So when God looks at you, remember at Christ's baptism, God said, "This is my beloved Son." When God looks at you, do you know Christ didn't do any ministry yet? He started his ministry right after that. It was just because he was his son. And because you're his child, God sees you as his beloved. What a blessing to know that. I remember when I was under legalism, feeling like God's just disgusted with me. You know, it's a terrible feeling. I remember I went to a really bad depression. So grace counts. Truth frees you. Frees us to serve. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You notice it didn't say through our confession, the forgiveness of sins. It's what? Through Christ's blood. We have that. We'll see that even more. We don't get forgiven. We live in forgiveness. Praise God. And whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of His grace. That's God's unlimited spiritual wealth. We are wealthy. You know, sometimes we get worried about bills, right? Now I just got out of the hospital and all that. Praise God for His provision. Amen. All this time. But I want to get out there and, you know, get some income helping out with the family, you know. And sometime we could get our mind on things and then we get all stressed out, right? Whereas instead of focusing, remember, God will provide for our needs. That's a promise under grace, you know. And according to His riches, you're rich spiritually. Rich. So you know what? Instead of walking around with your head down, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. One of these times I'm going to walk right off there. Walk tall. Not in pride, in dignity. God gives you dignity. You're His child. You're spiritually rich. Praise God. And we're objects of God's grace. He gave that to us in grace. We didn't earn it. Don't that make you want to serve Him? Don't it make you want to tell somebody about salvation and other believers about God's grace? Amen. That's our motivating force. It's the love of God that compels us, pushes us along. Ephesians 1:3. I love this verse. Blessed be the God. See, Paul is just praising God. You know, he's not, again, I always do this, but that's how I think. You know, you have preachers that, you know, they make, sometimes they download a verse or, you know, they're boring. There's no passion. And they're, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, man, when I think of Paul, he's Jewish, right? They're expressive. That's, like I said, why they make good comedians, you know. But Paul is a Jew, right? And he's thinking about God's grace. And it shouldn't just make us, yeah, that's cool. You know, it should, blessed be God. Bless God. Praise God. I want to serve you, God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You lack nothing spiritually. You're complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. Praise God. We're accepted. We don't got to try and join a gang to be accepted by that gang. That's what they do. They might not feel accepted at home, but they feel a part of that gang. You don't got to join some religion to be accepted and dress like this and try and look like the pastor and everybody comes to church in all white. You know, that's fine if you want to do that, you know. But you don't have to. You ain't got to be little robots that try and be like the pastor. You know, he's got a thicker beard than me anyway. I don't know how you like my little thing, so I can't look like him like that. And I don't want to, because God's blessed him. You know, we each got a different set of fingerprints, right? And all we do is offer our bodies, our personalities, everything we are to God, and He'll express Himself to us. That's true worship. That's what worship is. It's just not coming and singing praise songs, you know, waving our hands on Sundays. That's cool if you want to do that, you know. Paul talks about lifting up your hands, or if you want to twiddle your thumbs or tap your toes or be very quiet, you know. But it's offering your bodies, our minds, everything we are in view of God's mercy, His loving kindness, in view of His grace. That's a logical act of worship. That's worship. It's a response to His grace. We don't work it up. What's Paul say? Work out your salvation, not work for it, right? Work it out. What's true inwardly, let it be manifested outwardly. So we're blessed. I just feel so blessed today to be here and to be teaching God's grace again. Go to Romans 3:23-24, please. You know, this grace that God has just blessed us with, it's undeserved. It's unmerited. It's given as a gift. Because look at this, for all have sinned. That's an appointed of time. You know, even if someone's a moral, religious person, they still sin in Adam. They're fallen. And the flesh likes to say, oh, look at me, how religious I am. Think of the Pharisee looking at the tax collector. I'm so glad I'm not like him. I do this and I do that. Aren't I wonderful? You know? Look me over. How's it say? I forgot. There's a thing, but don't look me over. Anyway, it says, for all have sinned and come short. And that idea in the Greek is continually we come up short. Every day. You're not the lone ranger that you sin every day. Because it might not be outwardly. Maybe not going to commit adultery or doing drugs. You know, because that's what a lot of legalists are. I don't do that. You know, but it could be inwardly. It's attitudes. God's will is that we love, right? How about men? Love your wives. Right? You say, but you don't know. God didn't leave us no excuses. Love your wives. Do we always do that? No. How about wives? Submit to your husband. Respect them. You always do that? No. See, so we're always coming up short. It might not be outwardly, but it's inwardly attitudes. For all have sinned and come up short of the glory of God. But look at this. I love this. Being justified freely, declared righteous freely. You know what that word freely means? Remember when they said it means without a cause? Remember they said they killed Christ without a cause? They hate him without a cause? I'm sorry. There was no cause for them to hate them. No cause in him. There's no cause in us for God even to love us. But he loves us unconditionally. It's because he is love. That's his being. He's also righteous and just, because everybody likes to say, oh, God is love. My God's love. He would never send nobody to hell. Well, you got a made-up God in your imagination, if you think that. Because it says God is righteous and God is holy, right? He can't let sin go. Remember Adam? How many sins did he do? He ate some fruit. You say, and he spiritually died for that? Yeah. Because God's so holy. But praise God, his justice and righteousness were satisfied. And his just righteousness and his love and his grace met at the cross and kissed. That's why God can bestow on us his grace. Being justified freely without a cause by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's all I can say is praise God. So grace is the extension of God's love for us and manifests his agape, his unconditional love to us. So God's grace on us will be shown for all eternity. You know that? We're God's trophies. You say, yeah, but I come up short. Yeah. That's why we're God's trophies of his grace. You know, angels that didn't fall, never sinned. So that, you know how they learn about grace? Through us. Like they see us, they're observing us. They learn from us. Right? And you got to think their mindset in a way, you know? Like, God loves them. Look at them. What grace God has. What grace. Go to Ephesians 2:7. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. We're God's trophies now, and we're going to be God's trophies for all eternity. praise God. You know all you got? I never got any, to tell you the truth. Not a trophy, you know, but some people are into sports. And I did win like two contests, and I got a certificate at a church I went to on the Billy Graham Award, and then the Evangelical Award of reaching out. But you had to do so many Bible studies with some people. Yeah, it's rough, you know, trying to get people to do four Bible studies with you unsaved people. You know, but, you know, and then if you're in the sports, you're football, baseball, you know, I like martial arts, so you put them trophies up and you just admire them, and we're God's trophies. He thinks of us, and he remembers. He's reminded of his wonderful grace, how undeserved we are. But always remember, you know, Martin Luther says, never think of yourself apart from Christ. When God looks at you, he sees Christ. He don't see your failures. Don't identify yourself by your failures. Identify yourself by your identity in Christ, holy, without blemish, perfect in his sight. We got to be reminded of this, because through the week, man, Satan's going to try and beat you up, shut you up, shame you, especially because you understand how to rightly divide the word. You understand the mystery, I hope you do. And Satan hates it, because God had a secret. God showed his wisdom, keeping a secret. And it says the principalities and powers, they wouldn't have crucified Christ if they would have known. God kept the secret, Paul calls a mystery, and it wasn't revealed till our apostle Paul was raised up, that Christ saved him, gave him a new commission, and revealed to him, unfolded the mystery to him. So when we preach Paul's gospel that Christ gave him, we don't worship Paul. But Paul's our pattern. Christ we worship. But Christ, Paul says, if anyone thinks themselves spiritual, that they're a prophet or spiritual, let them acknowledge, I give you the commands of Christ. We find in Paul's epistles our commands for today. And we find out our identity. That's where we find out we're trophies of God's grace. Praise God. So grace is a gift of favor. You remember this, apart from any question of merit or demerit. See, if God owes us, it's not grace. If it's works, it ain't grace. If it's grace, it ain't works. And you can't mix two together. That's Satan's gospel. Oh, you're saved by grace, but you got to do works or you're not saved. Lordship, salvation, that's all over Christendom today. Quote, Christendom, unquote. Go to Ephesians 8 and 9, 2, 8, 9, please. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, I want to bring out a point here. Some Bible versions will say you have been saved. Here, the King James says, you are saved. Well, they're both right, because in the Greek, the tense is the idea of it happened at a point in time with continuing results. You have been saved, and you continue to be saved. Praise God. No matter what, you are saved. Otherwise, if you could lose your salvation, what were you ever saved from in the first place? Do people think of that? You know? I remember when I started learning to study and rightly divide the word, and I had been in a legalistic church 8 years, you know, and how freeing it is when you learn to study on your own. You learn to study God's word his way, rightly dividing it, right? And you learn Paul's gospel, and you start rejoicing in that gospel, and you start walking in that truth. It's a journey with God. It's an adventure. Do you know when I was in the hospital, I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I was like in a coma, I almost died. Some of you came and some had come and see me like that. I don't remember you being there. But you know what I was doing? Sharing with the CNAs, the nurses, the doctors, other patients about the grace of God. One nurse, one morning she was in there, started sharing about rightly dividing the gospel of God's grace, and she stayed there 45 minutes. And you could tell she was a little charismatic or Pentecostal, because as she was leaving, she said, "I could feel the Holy Ghost all over me." And I says, nah, you know what that is? That's your emotions responding to your thoughts. You're focused on God's grace, and it brings joy.
Yes.
It brings joy. That's what, when people see your joy, your peace in your life, it's actually Christ, the fruit of His Spirit, joy and peace and love, and out of love comes joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, all the way to self-control. And when they see that, then they want to know.
Yes.
Say, "Wonder, what do you got? Why? Why?" A couple nurses said, CNAs, "You're going through all this. I was in a lot of pain. And you're worried about us." But see, it's not knowing this stuff. It's not getting just a doctrine here and being a big doctrine head. Come to church every week, getting more doctrine. Give me more doctrine. We need doctrine, sound doctrine. But it needs to get into our hearts and our will and then into our feet. And you know how I survived that ordeal? You know how many times I prayed? "Thank you, Father, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's when we go through the valleys, when we go through the trials, the fiery furnace. You think of Daniel or the mother three in the fiery furnace, or Daniel in the lion's den. Christ was in there with them. And that didn't destroy him. And that's us. How much more today we have Christ in us. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's a growing process. We need doctrine. We need sound doctrine. But don't let it stop there. Like, we need to study the Bible, right? And how has God said to study? Rightly divide it. Or you're going to wrongly understand it. And then as we rightly divide it, we need to meditate on it. Think about it. And then what? Apply it. That's where a lot of us fall short. We just like to win arguments. We like to sound intelligent. "You know how much I understand about the mystery and rightly divide? Aren't you impressed?" And I'm looking, and I'm like, no, because your head's, you know, going like this. You know, you got to get it out. Amen? Respond to God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself." See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody shared with you the gospel. How are you saved? Believing Christ died for your sins. He took your place. He was buried and He rose to justify us. God will declare us righteous when we believe He died for our sins. And not only that, when He justified us, the Holy Spirit, Christ's Spirit, His very resurrected life came and indwelled our empty human spirit. Now Christ in us, right? It's Christ in us. Christ gave His life for you so He could give His life to you. Why? So He got a place to stay in Chicago? No. So He could live His life through you. That's what Christ wants to do. And like I said, it's an adventure. It's a journey when you understand God's grace. It's a wonder. It's a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. Praise God. Because if it was up to me, I would blow it. You know? I know I would. I'm glad that God holds my salvation in His hands. Go to Romans 11:6. This is a great verse to memorize when you're dealing with works-oriented people who are in a legalistic church or Lordship Salvationist. And if by grace, unmerited favor, then it's no more works. See how logical Paul is? It's, if it's grace, if it's unmerited, then it ain't works. If it's works, it ain't grace. How many denominations and religions under the name of Christendom teach, oh yeah, you're saved by grace, but you, God gives you the grace to do the works, but if you don't do the works, you ain't saved. If it's grace, it ain't works. If it's works, it ain't grace. What's hard about that to understand? You know what's hard? Man's pride. Because don't you always think, why would somebody walk away from salvation? You know, share with them, ignore it, walk away, reject it. It's pride. That's good for you, the sinner, the naive person, but me, I got my own beliefs. You ever hear somebody say, you know, I don't talk about my faith? And I either think or I say, that's because you ain't got no faith to talk about. Because if your faith is real and you really believe in it, you're going to share. It's like a grandma. You get a grandma, you know, start talking about her grandkids. And all of a sudden, before you know it, she's got like the wallet thing and she rolls it out. It goes all the way down to the end of the hall, you know. Look, it ain't that cute here. Look at it. You know, you ain't going to stop them. My mom, people would come by and she would say, you want to see some pictures? You know, family and that. And she'd bring out an old suitcase. I'm like, Mom, they want to visit too. But see, when you love someone, you want to share about them. I love my wife. So on Facebook, I'm posting stuff about her, what a great wife she is. You know, she used to sleep at the hospital sometimes. She was there about every day. You know, she's a proven wife, a proven good wife. Romans 4, 4 and 5. Now to him, that's that person, the legalist, now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned a grace, but a debt. You know, people think, religious people, because I serve God, he owes me something. He owes me heaven. And even people, real believers on their deathbed, why did God let this happen to me? Why not? You know what I was thinking, God? I used to sit out sometime in the rehab, had a nice patio, and early in the morning I'd go out there and just talk to God. It's called prayer. And I said, thank you, God, for not just miraculously healing me. He could have. I said, but thank you, because you allowing me to go through that touched so many people's lives. People see the reality of Christ in you. You know, it's not just what you're telling them. They're seeing that reality in you. And I thank God. Now, I wouldn't want to go through all that pain again, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I was thinking what Paul said. In our weakness, Christ's powers may manifest, and I'll glory in my weaknesses, that the Christ's power may, I forget the exact words, but manifest on us. Says, now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned a grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, they're not trying to work for their salvation, but believeth. See, there's always, you're saved by what? Grace, through faith. Believeth, trust, all that's the same idea. on him that justifieth the ungodly. God declares righteous the ungodly. Because why? They trust in Christ, that he did that for them. His faith is accounted for righteousness. See how it's all grace? We can't boast. So grace finds its greatest triumph and glory in the spirit of human helplessness. You know, we like to try and be strong for the Lord, right? Yeah. Hey, brother, sister, be strong in the Lord. You know, and there's an idea there. But it's in the Lord, not strong for.
Right.
See, so it's in the spirit of our weakness. Christ's power is made manifest. Remember, John the Baptist said he must become less and Christ must become more. That's a transdispensational principle. Paul said it's no longer I who lives, but what? Christ lives in me. The life I live in this flesh I live by faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So go to Romans 5, 6 through 8. These are good to go over to remind us where we came from. For when we were yet without strength, without power, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. So that has the idea of like a Pharisee, very religious. You know, somebody, you know, can't stand being around actually, but some people are real impressed with them. So somebody might die, you know, for them. Yet peradventure, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Now that's a man you just have respect, a good man, he's loving. You know, it might be your father, your grandfather, your grandma, you know, man can, you know, you could think of a woman here too. But some would even dare to die. But here's the difference of God. But God commendeth, or he demonstrates, my New King James Version says, his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't like you're hearing today, you got to repent of all your sins and turn to God, right? Repentance means change of mind. When you go from unbelief to belief, you've repented. You know, a lot of people always say, especially down south, when I get myself together, then I'll come to God. Because they're taught that. You've got to turn from all your sins. Who ever turned from all their sins? Who's sinless? And the ones who say they are, they're a liar. Because what's 1 John say? He who says he has no sin makes God out to be a liar. God said there's none righteous, no, not one. Not in ourselves. He's got to give us gift for righteousness. And that comes by grace. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Did we deserve it? Do sinners deserve? What do sinners deserve from God under law? Punishment, right? Do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do that, you'll be cursed. That's law. I love this now, Paul's much more. Don't you love that when you see Paul, he gives us some beautiful truth. But it don't stop there. Grace is much more. He keeps going. I mean, does the news get better and better? Yeah. Much more then. Now being justified by his blood, you trusted in Christ. Through his blood, God declared you righteous before him. We shall be safe from wrath through him. One thing, we won't go through the tribulation period because that's God's pouring out of his wrath. And that whole 7 years, it's not just the 3.5 after. 7 years are the idea of God's wrath. And so we're safe from that. We're going to be raptured, but we're also safe from hell. Yeah. Do you think about that sometimes? People in hell screaming, wishing they would have listened when somebody shared with them, and never, ever having another chance. Today is the day of salvation, right? Don't put it off. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies... See, people think, I'm a good person. I'm moral. I'm a good father. I provide for my family. I won't even take a pencil from work. But what's say? Enemies. And God loved His enemies. When we were enemies, this were what we were. Don't ever forget that. You weren't always saved. You know, God has no, I've heard it put, no grandchildren. You can't go on your mother and father's faith. It's got to be where you come and you trust in Christ. You know, that's a problem I think of some young people that grow up in church. They hear stuff and they know the doctrines, but they've never trusted. There's got to become a time when you realize, I'm a sinner before God. Just being honest. When I heard that, I said, no problem. I was a gangbanger a couple years, doing drugs, getting as many girls as I could, taking advantage. When I heard that, I know I'm a sinner. And Christ died for sinners. Trust that. And I said, that's all? I can do that. God, I believe Your Son died for my sins. Thank You. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, see, we're brought to God through the death of His Son, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What's that mean? We're not saved by Christ's death. Paul said, if Christ didn't resurrect, we're still in our sins. You know what that means? You know what salvation is? Now, if God didn't deal with sin once for all, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, then when we sin, we lose our salvation, right? So God had to deal with that once for all. It's finished, Christ said on the cross, right? But what's a dead man need? When we were dead in our sins, Scripture says, what's a dead man need?
Life.
Thank you. She's been listening. A dead man needs life, right? We're saved by Christ's life. We're spiritually dead. When Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left him that moment. And he couldn't pass on spiritual life. So we're born that way. With the sin nature. And the sin nature has two sides to it. Some is debauchery, and some is religion. Remember, it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man can do some good things, right? Think of UNICEF and some of them organizations, but we were spiritually dead. And through Christ's resurrection, when we trust that, He comes and indwells us and gives us, it's called Zoe in the Greek. It's the same quality of life that God has. We don't become little gods, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And how blessed we are to have, you know, people go, you know, God's with you. And sometimes we feel far away from God, maybe. You can't get no closer than your heart. Christ is in us. And He wants to express Himself through us. That's honor. That's an honor. That's dignity, eh? It's a reason to wake up in the morning and to rejoice. We should wake up every morning. Well, I do it. And just because I do it don't mean you got to do it. Otherwise, I'm throwing some legalism on you. But I had heard that a long time ago, that in the morning you just say, God, here I am, not much, use me. And I thought, that's true. So every morning, as soon as I wake up, I try and go to sleep praying, because then I usually wake up praying. And I go, here I am, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. You've made me holy and acceptable in Your sight. Use me today to reach the lost, to help build up the saved, in Paul's gospel that Christ gave him. So I think I'm going to close with one minute. Don't worry. When I get warmed up, I'll go over. But I never hardly do it right on time. But for anyone who's never trusted in Christ, you got to think that moment. Did I trust in Christ? I don't know the date I got saved. But I remember the moment I did. And then some people just heard and trusted and didn't think nothing about it, but they got saved. But is there a desire in you to want to get into the Word? Is there a desire to want to know God better? You know? Now, a desire to sin, people feel like, am I really saved? To me, that's proof of your salvation. You don't want to sin. Because the Holy Spirit's in you and trying to fill you with new desires. Grace teaches us what? To deny ungodliness, say no to sin, and live upright and godly, right? So if we never trusted in Christ, maybe we've been under legalistic or performance-based teaching. Trust today. What do we got to do? Believe that Jesus died for our sins according to Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead. He died for your sins, and He rose from the dead so God could justify you. And the moment God justifies you, Christ comes and indwells you, and He completes you and fills that emptiness where we know we're trying to fill it with everything else. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, glory to You, God. That's all I can say when we think of the depths of Your grace. Put a passion in us, Father, to share this wonderful gospel. Give us boldness to share the gospel with the lost. And also give us courage, Father, and boldness with believers that don't understand how to rightly divide Your word. Don't understand the gospel of grace. Maybe they heard it when they got saved, but they weren't built up in it to share with them, Father. I know Satan wants to shut us up, but help us, Father, just to keep going. Not to allow him to shut us up through shame, through people calling us names, making fun of us. It don't matter. Because on that day when we come before Christ, what a day rejoicing that's going to be. And help us care more what You think about, Father, than what people think about. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.